If you look at the map of North America, the Bering Strait, it's clearly a gap looking across to Asia. But thousands of years ago, there was instead a stable landmass where people lived. They weren't just passing through. Amy Gussick is curator of anthropology at the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles and says their research has reached a particularly exciting point.
Well, I'm particularly interested in coastlines that may be dating to, say, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18,000 years old. So this is roughly the time period, particularly 15 to kind of 18,000 years, that we do think that humans had migrated into the New World. We have evidence of about 16,000 years so far.
That's the oldest, is it?
As far as we know. And that's actually in Oregon. This is relatively new, just breaking up in Oregon.
And that's crossing the Bering Strait, coming from the east?
There's a couple theories that touch on the peopling of the New World. I think one of the initial theories that you've probably heard is the Clovis first theory, certainly coming across the Bering Strait through the ice-free corridor. What my colleagues and I are particularly interested in is understanding more about a coastal migration path. The idea that we know we have these really complex maritime societies that existed. Australia populated 65,000 years ago by people that were capable of maritime crossings. You have maritime societies in Japan, you know, 40,000 years ago. So understanding how those individuals, and we do think they were coming from this Northeast Asia, roughly, coming over Bering Strait area, whether it's using a combination of boat and pedestrian travel, utilizing little areas of refugia during the last ice age that may not have been completely glaciated. And we know that the glaciers didn't actually come all the way over to the coast, and there was a lot of islands, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, you know, that have a lot of little areas that would have been available for people to utilize and resources, right? So how we can find these early sites involves not only thinking about terrestrial portions of the landscape. So I work a lot on the Northern Channel Islands off of California. We have evidence of sites as early as 13,000 years old there. Lots of occupation. But what we really need to understand is not what that landscape looks like now, which are four separate islands, but what that landscape looked like at the initial habitation. So 15, 16, you know, 17, 18,000 years ago, and at that time, it was actually one large landmass called Santa Rosa. How can we use that information to understand broader settlement patterns and perhaps identify terrestrial resources that would have been attractive to these kinds of first peoples that we think probably were there at least 16, 17, maybe 18,000 years ago.
Is that where you actually explored? You go underwater?
Yes. The vision automatically is scuba tank, wetsuit, you know. And that is certainly part of it. But the shorelines that we're looking at are actually rather deep. So we're primarily interested in shorelines that are roughly 50 meters up all the way up to 120 meters deep. But really, the majority of what we do is based on remote sensing research. We go out with equipment that measures a whole bunch of different factors in the seafloor. So we use side scan sonar, sub-bottom sonar. We're recently testing a new technology with Scripps using electromagnetic technology to try to understand different kinds of features on the seafloor, like shell deposits. But what these instrumentations do is map the seafloor. Some of them can actually penetrate the seafloor, and that's really key. So that's the big thing.
What have you found so far? Any surprises?
We have, actually, yes. We certainly have. So what we really are looking to identify at this stage of the game is where can we find terrestrial deposits that are submerged beneath these marine deposits, right? So how deep, number one, has that marine kind of sediment built up over time on this continental shelf? Can we find lacustrine deposits? Can we find riparian deposits? You know, where were these shorelines located? And we have actually been able to reconstruct those. You can actually reconstruct where the shorelines are based on this sub-bottom technology. And we have actually been able to clarify various estimates for sea level rise in the area and uplift rates, Don. We've been able to clarify those.
We're looking at people coming across, and you could get quite a distance on land at that stage, but is it one population from Asia coming across, you think?
That's a good question, and there's actually been a lot of advancements in terms of thinking about peopling, and particularly peopling of the New World, and looking at doing DNA analysis. There are a number of different theories that are saying that it may very well have been a couple different populations coming across. And, you know, when we're thinking about understanding peopling of the New World, sometimes people will put it as this dichotomy between coastal migration versus interior migration versus people coming across the Atlantic, and there's lots of different theories. These all very well could have happened. They all could have happened around the same time. Was it one migration? Was it multiple migrations? Those are actually really good questions that we're still working on.
And you're finding it out.
Yeah, and that's right. This is the thing, is it's really exciting research, and there's excitement about it recently because we have large groups of people that are really combining their knowledge, combining their efforts to really come together to understand this broader question of how did people get here? How long ago did they get here? How can we understand these early landscapes? And how does that impact what we know about how people utilize these resources through time? I mean, it's really exciting. And I mean, we're developing new technologies to understand these kinds of things. We're actually, right now, as I mentioned, in a partnership with Scripps and SDSU, with my colleagues there, developing new technologies. We're working with La Brea Tar Pits, one of our family museums, to understand how can we identify submerged tar seeps and how did peoples, as we know in this area, actually use that tar, you know, early in time. We know Neanderthals used, you know, asphaltum to haft. So we're looking to understand the unique resources that we have in this area, particularly on that submerged environment. What can those things tell us about these early peoples that were here that really were kind of the beginning of our occupation here in the New World?
Amy Gussick at the LA County Museum, and this week similar research off the coast of Karratha revealed indigenous artifacts of considerable age, as you may have heard on AM on Thursday.